The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Everyone is going to reap what they sow.
Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Pastor Greg Laurie says your good seed will produce good fruit.
Some pursued parties and you pursued prayer. Some pursued sexual pleasure, you pursued sexual purity. Some pursued this world, you pursued the next. And while others reap corruption or deadness, you're reaping life. And while others feel used, you feel new.
This is
Before we begin today's study in the book of Esther, here on A New Beginning, we want to ask you, Pastor Greg, to help us have a more heavenly view of the earthly issues in our world today. Can you help us with that?
Right, Dave. Hey, everybody, the last time I checked, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible, right? Someone check, quick. I think it's there. And what does it say? It says, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But then it goes on to say, for whom God did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed into the image of his own dear son. Here's the thing. We're going through a trial in our nation together. We're going through a storm together. And the storm is called COVID-19, also known as the coronavirus. This storm is going to have a beginning, middle, and an end. Where are we in it? We don't know. But we know we're going to get through it, and we know that God can even take this event that we're going through and work it out for our good, ultimately, and his glory. And ultimately, his end game, if you will, is to make us more like Jesus. Remember, all things work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose, in whom God foreknew he wanted to conform into the image of his own dear son. So folks, hang on to Jesus. We're going to get through this together. Let's keep praying and let's offer others the hope that we have found in Christ.
And the hope that we want to extend to our listeners goes beyond the boundaries of this radio program. Isn't that right? Especially on the weekend.
That's right, Dave. In fact, we have a weekly broadcast every Sunday. We call it Harvest at Home. It's a special message that I'll be giving to all of the folks that want to tune in and watch. It's like having church in your home. It's like having me over giving a home Bible study in your front room. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is blessing it. And a lot of people are tuning in. And I hope that you'll tune in, because what you can do is you can download the Harvest app for Apple TV or the Roku box, or get the Harvest app for your tablet or your phone, and you can watch us any way you want. But one thing I know a lot of people are doing, Dave, is they're inviting people over to their homes on Sunday morning, and they're having church in their home. You know, we want everybody to come to church. That's a great thing. But Jesus did not say that the whole world should go to church, but he did say the church should go to the whole world. This is a way to bring church, if you will, to your neighborhood, church to your neighbors, church to people that you care about. So join us for Harvest at Home this Sunday. Just go over to harvest.org. We start early in the morning and we go all day long, even into the evening. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, that's right. And again, you can get the details at harvest.org. Well, as Pastor Greg takes us to the book of Esther today, we'll consider a man of great power who sowed evil, and we'll see how he reaped the fruit he deserved.
Well, we are in our last message in the book of Esther. Have you enjoyed the book of Esther? I have. It's been a lot of fun to study for, even more fun to preach. And so this is the final message. We're in Esther chapter 5, and the title of the message is, You Reap What You Sow. Enter the villain of the story, Haman, who hatches a plot to exterminate Mordecai and the Jews. And so Esther says to Mordecai, okay, I'm going to go to the king. So our story begins in Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read together. 3 days later, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court of the palace just across from the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne facing the entrance. And when he saw Queen Esther standing there in the inner court, he welcomed her, holding out the gold scepter to her. So Esther approached and touched its tip. Then the king asked her, "What do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? I'll give it to you up to half of the kingdom." She said, "Well, if it pleases your majesty, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet I prepared for the king." So the king turned to his attendants and said, "Tell Haman to come quickly to a banquet as Esther has requested." So the king and Haman went to Esther's banquet and they're drinking wine. And the king said to Esther, "Tell me what you really want. What is your request? I'll give it to you, even up to half of my kingdom." Esther replied, "This is my request and deepest wish. If your majesty is pleased with me and wants to grant my request, come back with Haman tomorrow." We'll stop there. Now, this is amazing. Seems like she would have just closed the deal right there. You know, outed Haman and his plot, revealed that she was a Jewish girl, and this was an attack against her and her people, but she's waiting. She's waiting for the right time. Do you know timing is everything? Because a lot of times we're impatient. Are you an impatient person? I can be. But we need to understand there's a time for every event under heaven, the Bible says, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Now, Haman is so excited. He's thinking, everything's going my way. All of my scheming, my plotting, my undermining is finally coming to fruition. The queen has invited me to a banquet with the king. Verse 9, what a happy man Haman was as he left the banquet. He thinks, everything's going my way. I'm going to wipe out the Jews. I'm powerful. Oh, it's awesome. But as he's on his way home, he walks by Mordecai. And once again, Mordecai will not bow before him, and it just ticks him off. He goes home to his really, really creepy wife. That was as bad as him. Her name is Zeresh. And he says, "That Mordecai is driving me insane. He won't bow down before me. I want to kill him really soon." She says, "Why don't you build a gallows, maybe 75 feet high, and he could be hung publicly for his rebellion?" He says, "Wife, that is a great idea." So he brings in the building crew, and they're working through the night. He can't wait to complete the gallows so he can hang Mordecai high for his transgression. So as you look at this story, you're going, man, things don't seem to be going well. I mean, there's this horrible threat against the Jews. Haman's in power. The king isn't doing anything about it. But God is always on the move. And as I said earlier, as we began this study, though the name of God is never mentioned specifically in the book of Esther, the hand of God is evident in every single page. And the Lord was working through events now, as we're going to see how everything came together and there was a lot of reaping what had been sowed. Now, I debated if I should just paraphrase this and tell it to you, but I'm going to have you read it with me because this is one of the most powerful narratives in the Bible. Did y'all bring your Bibles today? You have your Bibles? Okay, grab your Bible. Look at Esther chapter 6, verse 14. We're going to read a bunch of verses. You're going to love this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. While they were still talking, the king's eunuchs arrived to take Haman to the banquet Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. And they were drinking wine that day, and the king asked her, "Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I'll give it to you even up to half of my kingdom." And so Queen Esther replied, "If your majesty is pleased with me and wants to grant my request, my petition is that my life and the lives of my people will be spared." Okay, so Esther's been waiting for the right moment, and now she's going for it. Verse 7, "For my people," says Esther, "have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. Who would dare do such a thing?" King Xerxes demands. "Who would dare touch you?" I love verse 6. Esther replied, "This wicked Haman is our enemy." Imagine the scene. There's Haman sitting there like, oh no. She's Jewish? Look at what it says next. Haman grew pale with fright before the king and queen. This is not good. The king jumped up to his feet in a rage and went out into the palace garden. But Haman stayed behind to plead for his life with Queen Esther, for he knew he was doomed. In despair, he fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining. And just as the king returned from the palace garden, he said, oh, are you going to assault the queen right here in the palace? Before my very eyes, the king roared. And as soon as the king spoke, his attendants covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, hey, king, Haman has set up a gallows that stands 75 feet tall in his own courtyard. The king says, hang Haman on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows and he had set up for Mordecai. And the king's anger was pacified. And on that same day, King Xerxes gave the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. We'll stop there. Talk about poetic justice. All right, so what do we learn from this story? Number one, God is always present and at work in our lives as Christians, whether we feel him or not. God is always present and at work in our lives as Christians, whether we feel him or not. He was at work in the life of Esther. He was at work in the life of Mordecai. He was at work in the lives of the Jewish people. And we see how God worked through such ordinary human events. Insomnia, the reading of a book, the anger of a man, and the timing of events. So I don't know what you're facing right now, but God's at work. I don't see him. He's at work. I don't feel him. He's at work. He's working behind the scenes. He promises to work all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Number two, God can take impossible situations and turn them around for his glory. God can take impossible situations and turn them around for his glory. Are you facing an impossible situation? Is the deck stacked against you? Have you been given no hope? Listen to this. God can change that. As Gabriel, the angel, said to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, with God, all things are possible. And this looked like an impossible situation for sure, but the Lord intervened. And point number three, you will reap what you sow. Again, I want to emphasize that can be positive or negative. For Haman, he reaped what he sowed. His treachery, his deceitfulness, his envy, his hatred, all came back. He hung on his own gallows. But Mordecai's faithfulness, his honesty, his integrity, also the honesty and passion of Esther, that was rewarded as well.
Well, Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of today's message in just a moment. But Pastor Greg, can you give us a verse to hang on to when the news gets us down? What would be your go-to section of Scripture, you know, when it seems like we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death?
Yes, Dave, well, you just quoted a verse from Psalm 23, which is a favorite psalm of so many people, and for good reason. It's just a beautiful picture of how God our Father is a shepherd who cares for us. You know, David was a shepherd, and he was probably watching his flock of sheep one day and thought, you know what, those sheep, those silly, skittish, fearful sheep are just like me. And then he wrote these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Listen, you're going through a valley right now. We all are. It's called the coronavirus. We're going to get through the valley, and you're not alone in this valley. The Lord is with you, so hang on to Him.
All right, good encouragement. Well, let's continue now with Pastor Greg's message.
As life goes by, you realize that it's a good decision to obey God. Now, some of you are young, and let me say something to you. And hear what I'm saying. And I guarantee what I'm telling you is true. And if it isn't, you can come to me later and I'll give you your money back. But this didn't cost you anything. Here's my advice to you. Do what God tells you to do in life. Follow the word of God. There'll be times when it's very difficult to make that stand for Christ. Very hard for you to hold your ground. Do what is right before God. I know there are people in life that seem to get ahead. They cut corners. They tell lies. They're dishonest. They get the promotion. They get the attention. You labor away faithfully, quietly, and no one notices you. It's all going to come out in the wash because everyone is going to reap what they sow. Just know it's true. You know, as you look back in your life, you'll find some who pursued fun, or you pursued faith. Some pursued parties, and you pursued prayer. Some pursued sexual pleasure, you pursued sexual purity. Some pursued this world, you pursued the next. And while others reap corruption or deadness, you're reaping life. And while others feel used, you feel new. You see? So sow to the Spirit. Put God first in all things. Every day from the moment you get up to the time you go to bed, you either sow to the Spirit or you sow to the flesh. So, you know, you get up in the morning, you know, you can go ahead and check out how many followers you have on Instagram or how many friends you have on Facebook. By the way, they're not your friends. And you know, you can be obsessed with things that are secondary, or you can say, I'm going to dedicate this morning to first things first, opening the Word of God and letting God speak to me through this scripture. And then you make decisions through the day, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to do, who you're going to hang around with, who's going to influence you, who you're going to influence. And you'll find that you'll reap what you sow. It comes down to this: sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It starts with a thought. What you let into your mind, what you contemplate, what you ponder, fill your mind with the things of God. Sow to the Spirit, you will not regret it. I was reading a news site yesterday about a man from Malaysia known as the Snake Whisperer. Did you read this article? He has great skills in handling venomous snakes, specifically cobras. He was featured on a TV program, Asia's Got Talent. He was a firefighter. He was even training other firefighters on how to handle venomous snakes. He would have these snakes. He would get them to do what he wanted them to do, and they wouldn't bite him. He was a snake whisperer. And one day he was working with one of his snakes, and it bit him, and he died. Moral of the story, don't mess around with poisonous snakes. Seriously. Well, what do you think? You're the sin whisperer now? Oh, I can handle this. I know this has been the downfall of many, but it will never be my downfall. I can control this vice. I can keep a handle on this issue. And one day it gets control of your life. I'm sorry, you're not the exception. Don't play with sin, or sin will play around with you. One last thought, which is a preacher's way of saying I'm going 20 more minutes. No, I'm not. Esther was willing to lay her life down for her people. She said to Mordecai, okay, I'm going to go to the king. And if I die, I die. But I'll die trying. I'll do what I can. Well, she didn't have to die, did she? She lived many more years. And because of her sacrificial act, save the lives of many. Well, in the same way, Jesus was willing to lay his life down, and he did die. He had to die because there was no other way to make us right with God. I went to the market the other day, second market story in one message. And as I was coming out, I was with my granddaughter, Allie, and there were these two sweet little old ladies sitting there. They must have been in their mid-90s. And one of them said, "Hello, hello, Greg." I'm trying to do their accent. I'm sorry. I said, "Oh, hi." "Yes, yes, we watch you on television." I said, "Well, thank you. It's great." "Yes, yes, God bless you, God bless you." I said, "Well, God bless you." So I walked over to them, "Tell me your name." And one of them was named Maria. And we're chatting, these two sweet little old ladies. "We pray for you. Thank you so much for praying for me." And there's another elderly woman standing there on a walker. And then the two sisters from Romania said, "Greg, pray for her. She doesn't believe in God." And I look over at this lady. She's like, "What? What's happening?" The lady said, I didn't say I didn't believe in God. I'm just not sure. It's hard to believe in God." I said, "Well, tell me why." She said, "Well, there's just so much suffering in the world." I said, "It's really true. A lot of suffering. A lot of horrible things happen. That's because of sin." "Well, why did God let that even happen? Why doesn't God just get control of all of it? Why would all these horrible things have to happen?" "Well, because God gave us a free will, you see, and we can make a choice." "Oh, I've heard that before. You know, I have children and I tell them what to do. I tell them what right and wrong are and they should do what I tell them. Why doesn't God do that for us?" Actually, he does. It's called the Bible, and he gives us absolutes for life. But unfortunately, we don't always do what he wants us to do. She said, "Well, it just doesn't seem fair." I said, "Well, listen, God loves you." "You think God loves me?" she says to me. I said, "I know God loves you. He loved you so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you." "Well, that seems very mean on the part of God to let Jesus suffer like that." I said, "Ma'am, it's because he loves you. And Jesus paid the price for your sin." It was hard for her to get that. And she said, I'm a good person. I said, "You've sinned. I've sinned. We're all sinners and we all need Jesus." So we talked about it for a little while, and I invited her to church too. So pray for that lady. I didn't catch her name, but listen, here's the thing. Is a lot of people say this, "Well, this just doesn't seem fair." Yeah, but that's why Jesus died. He died on the cross and took the judgment that should have come upon you, upon himself. Why is this important? Because listen to me, you're going to reap what you sow. See, if you believe in Jesus and ask him to forgive you every sin you have ever committed throughout your entire life, and there's a lot of them, by the way, will be forgiven, erased, and removed instantly. But if you do not ask Jesus to forgive you, every sin you've committed in your life will come back to haunt you and you'll face the full repercussions of them. That's pretty scary. You don't want to do that. And you don't have to do that. But if you reject God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, friend, you have sealed your own fate. Don't blame God for anything. It'll be on you. He has this great offer. The Bible calls it the unspeakable gift, or it's also translated the indescribable gift. It's so awesome. It's so amazing. It's so free. And all you have to do is reach out and say, "Oh, Lord, forgive me." So we're going to close in prayer now. And if you're not sure if your sin is forgiven, if it kind of freaks you out a little bit when you think about reaping what you'll sow, I strongly urge you to believe in Jesus. He died for you. He rose again from the dead. And he's here with us right now, standing at the door of your life and knocking. And he is saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. This can be the moment where your life changes. You've made a lot of bad decisions. You've done a lot of stupid things. You have a lot of regrets. You can't change that. You can't change your past, but you can be forgiven of your past because of the sacrifice of Jesus. He will do that for you if you will ask him to. The Bible says that we will confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we pray now, I'll encourage you to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Come into my life," and he'll do that for you today. Let's all bow our heads. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. and laying your life down for us. And now I pray for any person here or any person listening or watching, wherever they might be, help them to see their need for you. Help them to come to you. Help them to believe in you now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, pointing out the need to come to the Lord to find forgiveness for our sins and the hope of heaven. And if you'd like to follow through and make a change in your relationship with God today, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. And for a permanent copy of today's study, you can go online to harvest.org or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And the study today is titled, You Reap What You Sow. You know, Pastor Greg, the Bible is the best source of direction and encouragement for believers. It's God's counsel straight to our hearts and minds.
Yes.
And you have a new edition of the Bible. It's just out.
That's right, Dave. The New Believer's Bible, it's in hardback now, Old and New Testament. I've been working on this for years, and I'm so glad it's finally coming out. Now, somebody listening might say, well, I've heard of the New Believer's Bible. Hasn't it been around for a while? Yeah, it has, actually, for a number of years. But in fact, 10 million people have gotten a copy of it, but we went back and redid everything. We re-edited the old notes. I added new notes. There's a lot of new material that wasn't there before. So as they say, it's new and improved. Not the Bible, of course, but the notes that are in the New Believer's Bible. It's in the very friendly New Living Translation, which is very readable. And then there's just notes on everything you can imagine, from how to pray effectively, how to share your faith, why do Christians go through trials, hard questions that non-believers ask them, what about the afterlife, what about heaven, what about hell, what about end times events, you name it, we probably cover it in the notes of the New Believer's Bible. It'd be a great resource for you to start enjoying immediately. As they say, it's hot off the press. And we'd like to rush you a copy for your gift of any size. Again, I want to remind you that this is a critical time in America right now, and we want to seize the moment here at Harvest Ministries to bring hope to hopeless people, to bring comfort to frightened people, to bring Jesus to lost people. And you know, we're serious about evangelism. If you listen to this program, I want to see people come to Christ through this crisis. And so I'm going to ask you to be extra generous when you send that gift to us and receive your own copy of the New Believer's Bible. And I want to thank you in advance for that.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, if you contact us right away, we'll also include a companion resource we call Start to Follow. It's an extra publication where Pastor Greg walks you through the 7 key basics every believer needs to know. Great information. So ask for the New Believer's Bible as you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, getting back to the way you closed your message, no doubt there are people listening who know that they do need to make a change in their relationship with the Lord. They know that they have sin in their life, and they know that they need the forgiveness that Jesus offers.
Yeah.
How can they take advantage of this offer of forgiveness?
Well, you have just identified the first step. You need to know that you need this. You know, there's a lot of people that don't realize what they need. They're like a drowning person who would think that he could save himself. You need to call out to God for help. In fact, the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, he will be saved. And I would like to give you an opportunity to call out to the Lord right now and find the salvation that he offers. It's as simple as prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer at this very moment. And if you would like to come to Christ, if you would like him to forgive you of your sin and fill the void in your life and give you the hope that when you die, you will go to heaven, pray this prayer with me right now. God, I admit to you today that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sin, and I turn from it now. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross and to shed his blood for me. Now, Jesus, come into my heart and life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my God, and my friend.
Fill me with your Spirit and help me to love your word and to do what you tell me to do. I want to be your disciple. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer and you've meant it from your heart, God has forgiven you of your sin, and we want to welcome you into the family of God. And we have something we'd like to send your way that'll help you get started as a Christian. We call it our New Believer's Growth Packet. We'll be glad to send it to you if you've made a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Just ask for the New Believer's Growth Packet as you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or you can call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God.
You know, Easter is the perfect opportunity to bring someone to church that does not yet know the Lord. But here's the big difference this year. We're going to do it all online. That's right. Easter is coming to you, to your house, to your tablet, to your phone, wherever you want to view it. Just go to harvest.org to find out more. Let's work together to reach the largest group of people we have ever been able to make contact with this coming Easter. It's Harvest Easter Online.
Well, next time, Pastor Greg helps us run this race called the Christian life with an eye toward victory. We'll learn to lay aside those things that slow us down. Join us next time here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.